This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
This is Dolphins Rewind on the home of every Miami Dolphins game. AM 560, FM 99.9, HD2, The Joe, WQAM, and streaming on the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Lexus, who invite you to see, hear, feel, and experience amazing.
All right. Week four. We got football today, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to the Miami Dolphins Rewind Show. Dolphins and Colts, it's coming up. Just a couple of hours. Dolphins look to get back to 500. Good morning, everybody. I am Solana. Again, you're listening to the Miami Dolphins Rewind Show. We'll be on 8 a.m. every Sunday throughout this season. Dolphins lost a tough one last week to the Las Vegas Raiders. I'll touch on that in just a couple of moments. You got the Dolphins 1-2, and now the Indianapolis Colts are coming in at 0-3. I think they have losses to the Seahawks, to the Rams, and to the Titans. So, got to have this one today if you're the Miami Dolphins. You're on the road versus the defending champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers next week. You don't want to fall 1-3 to a winless football team, go 0-2 at home, right, before you have to play the defending champions. We'll look ahead to today's game later on in the show. As for that loss to Las Vegas, in Las Vegas on Sunday, look, Dolphins, I mean, Jacoby Brissett did everything he could, right, in that fourth quarter and in overtime to give the Miami Dolphins a chance. You thought at the end they were going to pull off some sort of miracle like they did last year in Las Vegas. Remember Ryan Fitzpatrick getting his face mask pulled, somehow throws a pass to Mac Hollins, and Mac Hollins even gave you a little something special, picking up a 15-yard pass interference the other night, or the other day, I should say, in Las Vegas. So it was a tough one. I would have, and I know this was the topic all week, right? Would have liked to see the Dolphins go for it on fourth down. I understand why they didn't in overtime. You're down three. They played for that first down. They throw a shovel pass to Mike Gesicki on 3rd-and-3. That upset me more than kicking a field goal on fourth down, because the shovel play, that same play, hadn't worked a couple quarters before. But that was the play call by the co-offensive coordinators. Dolphins come up short. They're forced to kick a field goal. I know people were upset that the Dolphins kick a field goal there, because you kind of saw what was going to happen after that. And a lot of people felt like Brian Flores played for the tie there. But I don't blame him for going for the field goal. He defended his decision. He knew he was going for the field goal. There was no hesitation there once you fail to convert the third and short. So, look, Flo did what he did. He played it safe. He went for the 3 points. His kicker makes the field goal. At the very least, you have a tie. And I get it. I get it. Sports fans in America, in the United States, they don't understand the soccer ties. They don't understand that. Nobody wants to tie. And I didn't either. I wanted the Dolphins to come out with a victory in that game, because after everything you went through, after the poor production from your offense in the first half, you were still in that game. Jacoby Brissett puts something together at the end. I don't know what it was in that fourth quarter, but puts together this drive. He gets into the end zone essentially as time is expiring, and you felt like the Dolphins were just going to pull one out of their you-know-whats in Las Vegas. But they don't, so they're 1-2, and they'll play the Colts today. Something else that was pretty amazing that happened at Hard Rock Stadium yesterday, celebrating the life of the legend, Coach Don Shula. And earlier this week, very special guest joined the Joe Rose Show with Zach Kranz to remember the late, great Don Shula.
We got a special guest. We have a special weekend here, a celebration of life for Don Shula. And this next guest is going to be here in town for it. One of the better draft picks over the last, I would say.
First round pick, number 9.
Right.
Overall.
I mean, came in and played right away.
And put up sick numbers. Played a long time, 7 Pro Bowls, and he joins us this morning from Houston because we can't get him to come back here and live in South Florida, where I miss that original Mercedes-Benz. Richmond, do you still have that bad boy?
It's still in the garage. Morning, Joe. How you doing?
That's awesome, Richmond. That is awesome.
You're the best, man. Right. You kept that thing the whole time. Still driving. That thing got 350,000 miles on it, and it's still going strong. What does that have, Richmond? How many miles on that thing?
We got about 180 on there. We keeping it low. We don't go too far.
Still riding. That's all that matters.
Still
at this
rolling.
Point.
Still rolling. Yeah. That's it.
Hey, Richmond, I know you're going to be in town, and before we get into everything, I'm just curious. It's so funny through the years, and we've all had fun Coach Shula stories, and we've all had our ass ripped by him, and you know, you've seen guys come and go and the whole thing. But what made Coach Shula such a great coach when you just look back and you're talking, people ask you about Coach Shula? What made him so good with all those wins?
Well, I think for one, he was a great coach, but just his consistency. And I think what he figured out early on, way before I got there, because, you know, the undefeated teams and all that, but he paid attention to the little things. And I think he figured out that, you know, there was a lot of parity and there were going to be games that was going to come down to either mental errors or penalties or things right. to beat yourself because the competition was so close. And that's why he was a stickler. And if you had mental errors or penalties, you know, if I had a penalty or mental error, when it got time to come to the sideline, I'd find out where he was and just walk the opposite way and try not to make contact. But he would make his way down that sideline and be screaming and hollering. I was like, oh, no, but I think that's why we had success, was because of the little things. Not so much, I think everybody, you know, focused on the big things. We make the big plays, but just the focusing in on mental errors and penalties and things to beat yourself. I think that's where he really excelled at.
The accountability every day, man, I'm with you. And the mental preparation was just incredible. I agree. The discipline. I never felt like there was any wasted time at practice. You were there. You didn't have an hour and a half to play grab ass. I mean, it kept rolling, and then he got you out of there. Did you feel that way?
It most definitely felt that way. And I'm going to tell you when I really felt that way, speaking of pressure, was on Friday mornings, we would have the weigh-in, and then during the team meeting, if you were overweight, he would announce not only how you were overweight, but how many pounds and this and that. And you were in there with all your teammates, and it was just like a peer pressure thing for me. So I'd be doing everything to, you know, try to keep my weight down. And sometimes you'd be in the hot tub over at St. Thomas, you'd have to run hot water through the water hose in there, and the guys be in there trying to get their weight down. Man, I miss the guys, but I don't miss those days because that was some pressure, bro. I mean, every Friday, like Thursday night, you know, I'd eat fish sticks or a light little salad, just enough because I didn't want to cause anything to cause my weight to go up because I did not want to hear my name saying, you know, Richmond Webb was a +5 or +6. I was like, oh, no. That was the worst for me. So if I could make it through weigh-in, I was good.
Yeah, it's amazing, these coaches, man. Like, if you're overweight, they find that to be, like, disrespectful for the weight, right? I mean, right, if you're like, so I give you this weight at 315, you come in at 320? Yeah, it was, I'm not saying what you weighed, Richmond, or nothing like that, man. I'm not trying to do that on the show. Hey, by the way, you were part of one of the great stories. We lost him. He was a third-round pick in your draft, Alfred Oglesby, and the abduction of the car by the two men and the kidnapping. Take me back. It was your car. What were you thinking when the car never popped back up and they couldn't find him? What was going through your mind, man?
Well, you know, Miami is a great place, but there are some certain areas in Miami, if you get caught up, you know, something can happen to you. So I right. think that was the initial thing, because first thing, you know, we were wondering, he didn't make the meeting, this and that, and then we were kind of freaking out. And then I said, okay, I got to go talk to Stu Weinstein. You know, he was kind of guy security, this and that, so go talk to Stu. And, you know, he had a real good relationship with law enforcement. So went to the meeting. He didn't show up. Went through the first practice.
Ooh.
He wasn't there. So then, you know, it was 2 days. So then we have a little break, lunch. And then me and it was another one of my Aggie teammates. He was there for training. His name is Keith Woodside. He was a running back. He had played at Green Bay, but he had signed with Miami. And we was wondering, I was like, man, I hope they, like, robbed him and possibly threw him in the Everglades. You know,
yeah, right.
Alligators. It's all kind of stuff crazy. In your mind.
Yeah.
And you're right, I had the BMW with the rims and stuff, and it's like, man, if they catch you slipping, you know, it could be over. So didn't hear anything. We go through the second practice, and on the way back to – you know, walking off the field, you're ready to take showers. I believe I heard Stu say they found him. So I was like, okay, good, because it's been since probably 7 in the morning. Wow. It's probably 4 or 5. So I think the thing that really stuck out about that was, I can't remember what year, but that was a year that we could actually stay at home instead of sleeping in those beds at St. Thomas, because I remember I used to have to put a board underneath between the mattress and
it was brutal. It was terrible.
It was brutal, bro. And so all these veterans were pissed off, you know, Marino, Duper Clayton, and Coach Shula was pissed, because I think he came in and told Coach Shula one story, which was a lie, and Coach Shula went – on the media with it, and then he confessed to the laws that it wasn't that. And
oh,
then,
God.
You know, that was the worst. You know what I'm saying? That was so I can remember, what was it? Either we was getting out of meetings or whatever, but they, a bunch of guys grabbed him, and I think it was a tree or something. And I think, like, I remember, I want to say Duper and Clayton, but they had that inch and a half or 2-inch tape. And they went to running around, and they take him to a tree, because we had to come back in to stand at St. Thomas again, because he screwed it up for everybody.
Oh my God. So the whole team. Oh, yeah. That always worked with the coach. That was brilliant, man.
That was bad. Yeah.
And, were you – I mean, you're talking about him, but were you thinking about what the hell happened to my car? I mean, it was your ride, man. It was crazy.
It was my ride. I forgot the story. So – let me tell you this, Joe, so you know Miami. Okay, so they found my car. They found the car first. The car was on, like, 55th Street. It was in Liberty City, but it was in 50th Street. I said, what in the hell is going on? I said, you find the car, but you don't find him.
Ooh.
That was when I really, like, started. I said, man, they probably got jacked, and, you know, he gone, you know, so I was happy and sad at the same time. But then the bad part was I never got that key back to that car. So I was always leery that if I go somewhere, somebody can just hit the if they got the key, they can hit it and check. So I after that, I shipped it back. And I think I got me a Chevrolet extended cab pickup truck and kind of fixed that up a little bit. Yeah. I was like, I can't. Yeah.
Done with that one. Right.
Wow.
That's it. Richmond, I got to ask you this. I mean, because now we're dealing with it with the Miami Dolphins present day and for the last couple of years, at least, or decade or whatnot. You're the 9th pick overall. You're the first round pick. You come in and you start from day one. What's that like? And Dan Marino, Don Shula, like, you went into a team that you literally, there was a lot of pressure on the 9th overall pick that year.
Oh, it was. And I figured that out because, you know, in college we watched Monday Night Football, and the Dolphins was always on there. So I already knew about Marino, knew about Coach Shula, because I grew up a Cowboys fan, you know, Tom Landry. So it was like Tom Landry. Shoot, it was only a couple of coaches that kind of fit that mold or that were the icons in the NFL at that time. And Coach Shula was one of them. So get to South Florida. Both of them are already Hall of Fame status. So the only thing in my mind, the only motivation, which was fear of, I do not want to be the guy that gets Dan Marino hurt, because I never wanted to be remembered that way. And that was motivation to keep me, trying to stay focused or whatever. But that I did not want, because I knew that would not be a good thing. I knew that. It didn't take long to figure that out. I was like, no.
Richmond, you played against maybe the debate will be forever, but Bruce Smith's always in the conversation, the greatest pass rusher. You played against him twice a year in some of the greatest matchups in the history of this franchise, going against that big stud on the outside who ended up with like 200 sacks in his
exactly,
career.
Right. Yep.
What was that like, man, twice a year knowing he wanted to get to your guy?
It wasn't fun, I can tell you that. I mean, it was 60 minutes of hell, but, you know, even though I knew it was going to be really tough, I always kind of looked forward to playing against him, because that was the measuring stick. So if you could do pretty good against him, you know, it's not going to get any worse than that, unless you had to go against Reggie, which, you know, I was like, I'm glad he's on the other side. I got enough with Bruce. Thank goodness Reggie's on the opposite side. But the thing was that it was good, but it was frustrating at the time, because, you know, back in the early 90s, we had some really good teams, but Buffalo was just a little notch better than us, and that's why they went to those four Super Bowls. So, you know, it was great when we beat them, but it would always be sometime we might split with them, and then we'd have to go there to play them in the playoffs or whatever, or play them in the playoffs, and they'd normally come out on top, and I think that was the frustrating part. But had a lot of respect for him, didn't really like the Bills. You know, it was a big rivalry, but you had to respect them because they had some great teams back then.
Did you and Bruce, going at it the way you did, I know at that point you guys were both getting Pro Bowls and all those things, did it ever get ugly between the two of you? Because obviously both of you wanted to win, and he was probably used to having his way with a lot of guys. Did you guys ever have your moment with the extra shoving, or – because you're not a talker. I've known you for a long time. You don't do a lot of talking. Did he ever try to talk you down?
No. I'm going to tell you what happened. This was early on. I'm trying to remember. Okay, Joe, you remember Tim McIntyre? He came from the 49ers.
Right.
And what happened was we were playing the Bills, and we had a Dolphin show. I can't remember the name of the show. But anyway, Tim McIntyre was on there with Keith Sims. Oh, and, you know, Tim McIntyre was a trash talker, this and that. And so, if I remember correctly, I think they asked Keith Sims, what do you think about the Buffalo Bills defense or whatever, this and that. So McIntyre kind of like, you know, hey, just whatever, you know, let them know what you think, this and that. So he pretty much said, what he said was the truth, but they took it as locker room material. And basically he said, I'd rather run at Bruce Smith then run away from him. He said something about, but really, I'm going to tell you, he was hell to cut off. So in essence, what he was saying was, it wasn't out of disrespect, but a lot of times when people don't really know what you mean, you just make that one statement.
Yep.
It's locker room material. So I remember the game, and they were pissed off, and I can remember the defense got, you know how the visiting team get announced first. So we're standing on the sideline. Me and Keith always standing side by side. And they announced Buffalo's defense. So when Bruce comes out, he's looking over there, and he starts pointing his finger and this and that. People like, hey, what'd you do? I said, I ain't do nothing. I said, hell, he ain't pointing at me. You know, this and that. So we get in the game. Joe, we get in the game, and it was actually funny, but they all, I think it's Phil Hansen, Bruce, Cornish, all these guys kept taking, finding a way to line up in front of Keith. They didn't beat him, but they was like pissed off, and I was, to me, it was kind of funny because we still blocked him. But I was just like, man, this is
that was
funny to me.
That was a scary group of guys in that building.
Yeah, that locker room material though, it's amazing that stuff does work, man. When one team gives it, even though we're talking about grown ass men, that still motivates them when you call one guy out and all your buddies going, oh hell no, you ain't gonna talk about Bruce like that. There's no way.
Yeah. And he wasn't really calling him out because we already know he was hell to cut off. It was almost like you could get in front of him in some kind of way. The next thing, he's 2 yards on the other side of you. You'd be like, how the hell does he keep doing that? So, I mean, I agree with it. Hell, I'd rather run at him than try to run away from him, too, because at least you know where he is. But, yeah, I was like, no. But, yeah, it was just they took it the wrong way. But that was a funny story. I was like, man, it was just – okay, Rich, here we go.
Richmond, I got to ask you this, and I appreciate you staying long because this has been fantastic. I knew you were going to be fantastic, man. I've been out and had drinks with you. I've seen that show, so I knew this was going to happen. But I do want to ask you, so Austin Jackson comes in as a first-round left tackle. I don't know if you've been watching the game, but he's getting, to put it nicely, he's getting critiqued pretty good for his play. Not everybody lines up day one and plays left tackle the way you were able to do. What advice would you give to Austin Jackson, who still playing it, I guess, pretty good run blocker, but the pass protection's got to get better? What do you say to a young guy?
The thing that I do, and I had to do this during my career, Joe, I think it was my second year. And back then the media coverage and social media was not near as what it is now. But we had went to Tokyo, played the Raiders, and I hurt my knee. So I missed like the rest of the preseason, first two season games. So I had this big brace I was playing with. So I didn't feel as quick. It was awkward. So it was a mental thing I had to kind of get over. So I think I used to read the paper, and they gave me a bad grade, like a D or an F, the way I was playing. I was like, man. So now I'm reading what people are thinking about me and this and that. And so I mess around and put in the paper that, you know, hey, I'm not 100%, which I really didn't feel 100%, but I was playing. So it was right around lunchtime, and the next thing you know, one of the it wasn't a coach or whatever, it was one of the guys that helped out maybe in the equipment room. I can't remember, it was an assistant guy. He said, hey, Coach Shula want to see you. I was like, what? I was like, that, I knew that was never good. I said, you see? Yeah. So I was like, damn. So I'm like freaking out because I got to go back here. Never been to his office. It's the only time I've been to his office. Thank goodness. So I go back there, and first thing he just likes him. Hey, what in the hell is this you putting in the paper? You're not this. I said, Coach, I'm not this and that. And he's like, he said something, so he was just ranting, just ripping me up. And I was like, I said, hey, Coach, if you won't put somebody else in there, you can. And I was like, man, you're killing me. So he said, no. He said, you got to determine the difference between being hurt and injured. He said, guys play with kind of injuries all the time. He said, you got to find a way to, you know, do what you got to do. He said, but nobody's healthy in this league, this and that. So I said, okay, I didn't say anything else. So I was pissed off because he done ripped me up. But then I had to get back and think about it. And after I thought about it, I was like, you know what? He's right. Nobody gives a damn if you're hurt or whatever. If you line up out there on Sunday, you better be ready to play because they're going to say, oh, Richmond's knee's hurting a little bit, so I'm going to take it easy on him, this and that. If anything, that's an opportunity to a stat game for him. So I had to change my mentality, and it really helped me finish the year out strong. But what I also stopped doing was I stopped reading the paper, this and that, because – and I told somebody, I said, get off social media. I'm like, if they ain't got saying nothing good, you don't – that's one less thing you need to deal with. So with him, I just shut down social media after the season. If I had to do an interview, I'd do my interviews, but I wouldn't read the paper. Wouldn't be, you know, ESPN. I would try to shield myself from as much negativity.
Yeah.
And just focus in on trying to be a better player, and the rest of it wouldn't matter to me. I'm like, let me just continue to try to get better, and that's what I would do. I'd get off social media and start reading the newspaper and everything because they've been pretty rough. They've been pretty rough on him. You are right about that.
Richmond, this has been great, man. Can't say enough. You just came out with an A-plus effort, man. You just graded awesome. Perfectly, man, on 75 plays, and you got every one of them was a plus today. So we want to thank you. Can't wait to see you this weekend for Coach Shula's, the celebration of Don Shula's life. So thank you so much.
Thanks,
really
Richmond.
Appreciate it.
Hey, I'll see y'all this weekend. Thanks for having me on again, Joe. I appreciate it.
All right, Richmond, you take care.
Let's get back to Dolphins Rewind on the Joe, brought to you by Lexus, who encourages you to experience amazing.
So I mentioned the throwback jerseys in the last segment. Dolphins rocking the throwbacks today versus the Colts. Obviously, remembering the life of Don Shula just seems like the perfect weekend, right? To be rocking that old school logo, the old school look. Such a clean look. I was there Thursday night. Miami Hurricanes were playing Virginia, and the end zones were already painted for the throwback game today. And it seems like in South Florida sports, you can never find consensus on anything, right? Going back to Ryan Tannehill, half the fan base was done with Tanny, half the fan base still love Ryan Tannehill after that 7-year marriage came to an end. Tua Tagovailoa, half the fan base out on Tua, half the fan base can't wait for Tua to finally take off. Really, you could do it anywhere, right? Eric Spoelstra, in the most absurd, probably, example, Eric Spoelstra, 2-time NBA champion head coach, just took the Miami Heat to the finals. They're still the Fire Spo contingent on Twitter. Just everything in South Florida sports can never find consensus. This is, I think, the one place you can find consensus in South Florida sports. Make the Dolphins throwbacks their permanent look again, right? I think everybody agrees with that take. I don't think anybody has a problem with that take right there. Throwbacks, they should be the permanent jerseys moving forward for the Miami Dolphins. I hope you're listening, Stephen Ross, because, gotta happen. Anyways, Safed Dean, he joined the Hockman and Crowder show again. I'll remind you, 2 to 6 p.m. weekdays here on 560 QAM. Dolphins, Colts, they're coming up at 1 p.m. Hock and Crowder. Talk to Safed Dean. He is now the USA Today Sports Plus NFL national reporter about the Dolphins and, you know, some of these lingering issues plaguing the team.
But the Dolphins offense has struggled mightily the last couple of games. Is this anything more than an offensive line issue, or does it begin and end with offensive line?
Oh, no. This is very, very deep issue. This is an issue that's plagued the Dolphins for the past three seasons, and this is Brian Flores being on his third set of offensive coordinators. These are, you know, two offensive coordinators who George Gatsby has some play calling experience, but probably about like 10 years ago, maybe. Even more than that, I would say. So you have a lot of guys on this coaching staff, Brian Flores' staff, who are first-year, second-year coaches, including the O-line coach, who's a first-year coach. The offensive coaching staff is very, very inexperienced. It's not probably a unit that you would want to have when you're trying to groom a young quarterback like Tua Tagovailoa. So that's probably my deepest issue that's at the forefront of it. Yeah, the O-line has some struggles. Maybe that's on the coaching. Maybe that's on the players. A little bit, it's got to give or take here and there. But I was actually really impressed with how the Dolphins, you know, try to close out the game last week in Las Vegas. Jacoby Brissett probably had the best drive of his life before, you know, at the end of the fourth quarter. And then for the Dolphins to get a 4th-and-9, for them to get a 4th-and-20 in OT, then to convert that, then you got the Fuller call, which they, you know, was badly missed. That was a really bad pass interference call that was not called for the Dolphins. And then, you know, the next play after that, pretty much they're on 3rd-and-3. They have an inside toss to Gesicki, and they're not really fooling anybody. You know, Dolphins don't really have a good O-line. They don't have a good run game because of the O-line, and then they keep pounding the football like they have a good O-line to run behind. It's a really not a great recipe for success when you have to pass the football. And this game against the Colts this week, it's going to be a grind-out game. The Colts aren't that great either, so I'm expecting a low-scoring game for sure. Take the under on this one, Hawk.
All right, I'm in. You don't have to tell me twice.
And Safi, what do you think? Because I got a little upset, but, you know, clarify it for me. I think Studsville, he said that we want to go deeper, we want to stretch the field, but the defense isn't letting us. Isn't that your job to find a way to go where the defense doesn't want you to go? I thought that was the chess match of football.
You know, I was frustrated last season when, you know, Lynn Bowden Jr. is, like, catching passes, like, less than 5 yards from the line of scrimmage. And the same thing with Jalen Waddle, like you said. you know, having all these passes, but what, 60 yards, 70 yards maybe in that game? Look, Jalen Waddle is the key to all of this here. If I'm the Dolphins offense, I'm feeding him the rock. I'm putting him all over the field. He's going to be at the X. He's going to be at the Y. He's going to be in the slot. I'm moving him around. I'm trying to get him the ball, force feeding Jalen Waddle the ball. Okay, this is your fastest player on the team. He's probably your most, you know, the most explosive playmaker that you have. If you feed him the rock on the outside, some passes on the inside, crossing routes over the middle, there's no reason why you can't be able to move the ball with him getting a couple good plays, and then you sort of sprinkle in a couple with Gesicki, sprinkle in a couple passes to Devontae Parker, get Myles Gaskin and Savon Ahmed to run the football or get some passes out the backfield. I think Waddle's a real good X factor here, but I don't think the Dolphins know really, you know, how to use him yet. It's like if you got a brand new Lamborghini in your garage, but you've been driving a Camry your whole life. You're not ready to punch that gas yet. And I think they need to feed Waddle a little bit more and then work on everybody else on the outside.
Safed Dean from USA Today Sports Plus. Canes fans, and I know you said your friends tuned out when we started talking Canes, so I'm not going to talk Canes here, but Canes fans, a lot of them on social media or on the text line, they are done with Manny Diaz. They are done with Blake James. Some Dolphins fans, we're starting to see it now, I'm imagining you are as well, are reaching an inflection point with Chris Greer, and then some are even talking about Brian Flores. Now, where do you stand on Dolphins brass? Where do you stand on Chris Greer and Brian Flores?
Well, look, Tua going down week two is obviously not great for what the franchise wanted to do in this year three of them being together, Greer and Flores. It's not the ideal start to the third year of a rebuilding process or the next stage of what the rebuilding process is supposed to be for the Dolphins. But, you know, if I'm Greer and I'm Flores and these losses start to pile up early this season, you know how you turn on a gas stove and it's got to click a couple times? Click, 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 click. And then the fire comes on. I think we're in that click, click, click stage right now for the Dolphins, for Brian Flores and Chris Greer. It's not hot seat time yet. It might be time to start turning on the stove. The fire is not getting there yet. But, look, this is a layer of issues going on with this team, and it's a reason why they haven't taken the next step. Tua being injured is not ideal. This coaching staff being very inexperienced all around is not ideal either. Not having an offensive coordinator in place, you know, for Tua's first two seasons, not ideal. And then the best thing, the best part about this team is the defense. The defense is still playing really, really well. It's hard to argue, you know, it's hard to play offense when you're being guarded by Xavier Howard and Byron Jones on the outside, Jerome Baker running all over the field as well. The defense is really keeping this team together. It's keeping this team in games. I expect them to do that against the Colts this year. And for as long as the season kind of, you know, holds on, it's just going to get to a point where the defense starts seeing the offense is not moving the ball enough or not scoring enough points. And then they're going to break more than bend a little bit more than usual.
And talking about Chris Greer, just looking at it, Safed, like, let's go back to 16. First round pick Tunsil gone. 17, Charles Harris gone. 18, Minkah Fitzpatrick gone. 19 is Christian Wilkins, who's playing well, made some plays last week. But 2020, Tua, he's out. Austin Jackson is struggling, and Noah Igbinoghene is not even dressing for some games. I think the criticism of the draft, you can start saying, is legit.
Yeah, I would say so too. I mean, you're 2 years in, you're looking at your three first round picks, and do you even know if you hit on any of them? Can't even say that about Tua. And the thing is, if they hit on Tua, the other two would have been, it would have been okay if they didn't, you know? Yeah. I think with Austin Jackson, it was a player that he was the fifth offensive tackle off the board. It was a reach in the first round of that draft. You know, he was coming off of a year after, you know, donating bone marrow to his sister, an incredible act by him. But it affected how he played as a senior in USC. And this season, he starts the season with COVID. So you don't know how bad of an effect that had on him. But some early signs are not returning right now for Austin Jackson. He's going to get it together. He has to improve. He has to play well. And I think he could do that. And Noah Igbinoghene, it's tough, man, because you draft him because you didn't know how healthy Xavier Howard was, right? And then Xavier Howard, sure enough, becomes healthy. He plays all 16 last year, leads the league in interceptions, and now your second cornerback is not your big problem. They also signed Byron Jones as well. So I feel like if Xavier or Byron Jones has an injury coming up this year, knock on wood, you hope that doesn't be the case. But that's really the only way you're going to get Noah Igbinoghene on the field. You're not going to put him in front of those two guys. And maybe he's not
better suited to play the slot or any other position on defense. At least get him on the field for special teams. That's what they did last week. They couldn't even do that week one and week two. But I see the reason why they drafted Noah Igbinoghene, and I even think he was a reach in the first round. You know, great kid, great talent, but he needs to be cultivated. And this Dolphins team, when you take young players that need to be coached up and need to be cultivated, you have to have coaching that's great as well. And like I mentioned too, first-year, second-year coaches, Brian Flores has a lot of faith in his coaching staff. Granted, every coach is going to have faith in their coaching staff, some more than others, some more warranted than others. But when you have developmental players that you that need developing and you have coaches that need developing as well, it could be everybody developing together or early struggles together. And that's kind of what we're seeing here with this Dolphins team, especially with Austin Jackson, especially with Noah Igbinoghene.
Welcome back to Dolphins Rewind on the Joe, brought to you by Lexus. Experience amazing.
.655 left to play. First quarter was scoreless. Carr out of the shotgun. Back to throw. Looking. Pressure. And it's picked off by Robertson. He is gone. Nobody's going to catch him. A pick six by Landon Roberts. And the Dolphins take the early lead.
Boy, Carr had pressure on him and never saw it. Landon Roberts. Wow.
It meant a lot. You know, this the place. I had tore my ACL last year, so it definitely meant a lot. You know, it was just a good play. That's it. Trying to make a play for the team.
Final segment here of the Dolphins Rewind Show with Solana here on QAM. That was Alain Roberts, though, taking it to the house versus Las Vegas. Opened up the scoring for the Dolphins. You get out to a nice 7-point lead. Dolphins really gave their offense a 14-point cushion going into the second quarter in that Las Vegas game, if you think about it, because on the very next possession, John Gruden decides to go for it on fourth down, down 7-0 in his own territory, in Raiders territory. Terrible coaching decision. Dolphins defense make John Gruden pay. Dolphins hold them on fourth down, get the ball back. Malcolm Brown gets a touchdown a couple plays later on a hole that opened up. You get a 14-point cushion there because your defense makes two really good stops, one going for a touchdown, and the next essentially leading you to a running touchdown. And then the next two quarters, second and third quarter, the Dolphins' offense just could not get anything going. Very tough. Very tough. Hopefully that changes today. Jacoby Brissett facing his former team, the Indianapolis Colts, who essentially gave up on him as a starting quarterback. Jacoby mentioned it this week. Said this isn't a revenge game, but I don't believe him. I don't believe you, Jacoby. I know Brissett wants this game for two reasons. One, he wants to continue to prove to everybody that he's a starting quarterback, including Brian Flores, by the way. And second, wants to beat the team that kind of gave up on him. They did. Indianapolis Colts Dolphins coming up later today. But the guy you heard coming into this segment, Alain Roberts, made it incredible play versus Las Vegas. He's been having a really good season. You'll hear from him right now. He was on with Joe Rose and Zach Krantz earlier this week.
Good morning. Thanks for waking up early with us. We appreciate it.
How you feeling, man? I'm good to be able to join you guys' show this morning.
Oh, Landon, thank you, man. I appreciate you saying that. First of all, what is that like dropping back there? The receiver goes inside, and there you are, and you catch it. And you take off, and it's a long one. Is it in the back of your mind going 82 yards for that pick six? Somebody might catch you. What's going through your mind?
Now, when I first took off running with it, you know, I knew I was out. But then it was, I ain't going to lie, it was long, so I kind of checked the Jumbotron. I didn't see nobody by me. So I just shut it down and jogged the rest of the way in.
You know what's funny about that? We've had more guys have pick sixes and say, I go, how did you know if somebody was close?
Looking up.
And they go, I just took a quick look up at the screen right to see. That's funny right there.
Landon, was that your first career interception, correct?
Yeah, that was my first career one.
How about that for a touchdown?
Oh, that's crazy.
That's a good one right there.
Hey, listen, we got a lot of stuff to talk. Can I go through the pet peeves real quickly? Landon, I want to get this off my chest. So, going back to the first game, I haven't seen you. I haven't been around you to talk to you. You just absolutely on a blitz destroy a running back, get in and make a great play on third down, take the quarterback down, and they call you for a low hit on a play, like, I don't know what you're supposed to do when you dip your shoulder and blow up a running back. I'm curious, what were your thoughts on that call, and what did Coach say to you about that call?
You know, he didn't really say nothing to me about it. You kind of can't teach a play that don't supposed to be called, you know. So it happened, and shoot, I just kind of moved on from it. We're still able to, you know, win that game and right. whatnot. But yeah, like I'm still trying to get answers, just like you.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just saw it, and so everybody comes up to me, you know, all the old school guys going, wait a second. So you blow the guy up, what you're supposed to do. You get the quarterback to make a bad throw out of bounds. You're going to get – they're going to kick a field goal. They're going to get shut out, by the way, not have a touchdown if that play stays the way it is. And all of a sudden they call that, and I'm like, there's nothing – I guess they want you to stop and stand up and then try to get the guy in that little area you have, because that's hard to do.
Man, I don't know what they want me to do, but If I could do it all over again, I'd do it the same way.
Well, absolutely, right, man. Right. Well, that's what I wanted to hear. Hey, the second part is this helmet-to-helmet, because you are you're a thumper, man, and these guys drop their head, and there's going to be helmet-to-helmet. You can't take helmet-to-helmet out of the game. How frustrating is it when they call that?
It's frustrating. I think the NFL – when it comes to that, I think they do a way better job than college. I'll be watching a few college games, man.
Okay.
I'll be seeing them just making regular tackles, and they hit the helmet, they throw the flag and review it. I'm like, well, how you supposed to tackle? Like, you know, so I think NFL, you know, it's mainly on defensive guys, like receivers coming across and stuff like that.
Yes.
I've never been called on one for hitting a running back square in the hole. You know, I've never been called on nothing like that. So, yeah. Because that's impossible. I don't know how
right.
I would not do that.
Right.
What's more satisfying for you at this point, now that you got that first interception down and you ran it in for a touchdown, doing that, maybe doing it again, or just dropping somebody at the line of scrimmage or behind it? Because since you've been here in a Dolphins uniform, you've got three or four of the biggest hits I've seen in the last 10 years, 20 years for this team.
Man, I ain't gonna lie to you. I used to always say, nah, I'm gonna drop somebody. That's like the big thing to me. But to be honest, like, you know, catching the interception and taking it to the house, you know, it's a big tempo change
right.
for the entire defense. You know, dropping somebody, I might be setting the tone for the defense, but you know, being able to make a big turnover play for the team and whatnot like that, you know, it's a huge swing in the game. So I have to say a pick six.
Landon, I want to ask you about the run defense. At times it looks as dominant as ever, and then it starts to leak a little bit in the number of 136 yards a game. What needs for you as kind of the core piece there behind all those defensive linemen, what do you see needs to get better? What part? How does it get better going forward?
And honestly, I think each week we just gotta you know, be able to come in, you know, look at film and see and where we can get better at with that, and what's the issue and stuff like that. And I think as we do that, week to week, it'll get tremendously better.
Is it assignments? Just to follow up on that, is some of that just assignments? Guys get freelancing, wanting to make plays. Is that some of it?
I think it's just you know, everybody just doing their job, and that's it. You know, including myself, we all just got to do our job and start stringing the run stops together. You know, you can't just stop it for one series. You got to continue stopping for the whole game. So. Yeah, I think that's just what it is. You know, it's still early in the season, man. It's a long season.
Right.
It's a lot of adjustments that's, you know what I'm saying, you can make each week, and that you're going to see the course of the year and whatnot like that. And it's just week three, and, you know, we're chipping away at it. And, you know, week to week, we're going to make a stride to get better at it.
Landon, one of the great numbers for this Miami Dolphins team, 24 games with a defensive takeaway is incredible. Not easy to do, to think all these takeaways from last year and it's carried into this season. Talk about that. How do you go about getting takeaways? Is that something that's coached up during the week, that's talked about, that this team's been able to get so many of them?
We definitely pride ourselves in it. You know, we have our turnover and takeover drill, you know, each day that Coach Josh Boyer really be on us about, and the coaching staff. And we just go at it, and it's definitely translating over to the football field.
Landon, one thing that Joe likes to point out a lot, and I love when he uses it, is the last year, of course, we saw it a lot. We've seen it this year a little bit, but that you're kind of front seven, that dancing seven, not letting the offense kind of see where you guys are, who's coming in, who's going to be rushing the quarterback, everything in general. How much is that to your guys' advantage when you use that kind of defense against an offense where they have no idea who's coming in and who's rushing the quarterback?
It's an advantage. You know, we have some smart guys. The entire defense is smart, physical, and stuff like that. And, we just take it one player at a time and just do, you know, what called is called. And, you know, we just try our best to, make sure that what we practice during the week, that we're taking it to the game field.
Hey, Landon, we appreciate you coming on this morning. I got one final question, if you're okay with this. You spent some time and played in New England. Any interest when you get home that night to turn that TV on and watch Brady going back to play Belichick since you've been part of that Patriots thing?
I'll be tuned in to that one. Yeah. I'll be tuned in. You know, first take care of ours, and then, you know, late on that night, I'll definitely be tuned in to that one.
Landon, the fans, you think the fans are going to boo Brady or cheer Brady? What do you think is going to happen there with that?
You don't have to worry about booze coming out that stadium.
Right. That's what I figured.
Landon.
Church on that one.
Right.
Landon, thank you, man.
Thanks so much for coming on.
You take care of yourself. Keep hitting people, man.
All right, man. You guys have a blessed day.
Landon Roberts there. He joined Joe Rose and Zach Krantz earlier this week. Remember to listen to them 6 to 10 a.m. right here on your flagship home for the Miami Dolphins, who are coming up just a couple of hours. First, though, you're going to hear from Kevin Rogers and Channing Crowder on the Miami Dolphins pregame show. Got a loaded pregame show coming up for you here as we lead up to 1 p.m., the Dolphins and Colts live from Hard Rock Stadium. That's where I'll be, at Alex M. Solana. If you want to connect on social media, that's where you'll find me. Dolphins-Colts coming up. Fins up, everybody.
Chicago, the grudge matches on the gridirons might be gone, but get ready to hit the ball and touch them all at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the real MVPs of SUVs. If you're thinking about rounding third and heading for home in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step and batter up. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban? Or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to win the game like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate the nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy, together, let's drive.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them.
Value Surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.